Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Turns away from pressure, leaves it for Dahlin, walks it in. He's got a man in front, scores! Alex Tuck from Rasmus Dahlin. A dynamic duel right in front of the Boston Bruins net, and it's 1-0 Buffalo. Carried by Peyton Krebs, left at the line. Samuelson shot, scores! Matias Samuelson with a seeing eye shot from the blue line, and the Buffalo Sabres have a 2-0 lead here in the first period. And a race for the loose puck. Buffalo not sending too many in. Now three. Here's a chance in front. Scores! Big hit in the corner. But what an effort by Doan to race down the ice and sacrifice himself on that play. And the Sabres are up 3-1 with 14:02 to go in the third. Now it's mucked up on the wall. Empty net for Norris. Scores! It's the Buffalo Sabres have beaten the Boston Bruins 4-1. We thank you, Boston, for your hospitality, but we have somewhere to be, and that's round two.
Sabres win the series. A second round is upcoming against Montreal. It's their first advancement in 19 years. They have a finalist now for the Masterton Trophy in Captain Rasmus Dahlin, and the appetite is almost insatiable right now, I think, in this market, based on what we witnessed coming home from Boston after game six, all the fans at the airport, and now the excitement and intensity that gets even higher with Montreal. Boston is the longest standing, most games played rival, but Montreal is right behind.
I didn't know what to do at the airport the other night because that's like, I'm not a player. The players
all gone.
Yeah, no, but it's like, I'm like, do I roll the window down and wave? I just waved at everybody, but I saw Rasmus Dahlin taking a camera out, right, to film everybody as he was going to. Lindy obviously giving out high fives to everybody, so I think that was my truck right there that just zoomed right by everybody.
No plow?
No plow on it. But anyway, it was fantastic. It was well done. Great reception. And yes, lots of Sabres fans in Boston on Friday to the game, which was awesome to hear. After like the handshake and Lindy walking back towards the bench and giving a fist bump to the fans, we were there. It was incredible. So yeah, a big game. But the way that the game played out in Boston in Game Six is the type of game that you have to bottle up and continue to move forward with. Like, it was physical. It was fast. It was great saves. There was, you know, everything that you want. There was different lines, like being able to roll on top of one another. It's exactly what you have to do.
More on that coming up, as is Bo Byram, who's going to join us in studio here on Sabres Live. But quick thought, because it's the most recent thing to happen from a game-specific standpoint. Montreal, 9 shots on goal, yet they win on the road in Game 7 against Tampa. And that's why it's Buffalo and Montreal again for the 8th time in the postseason.
So my first thought has been like this for Montreal all season long. I look at their roster, I'm like, other than Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, this is not a good group of forwards. Now, yeah, Duffer's already rolled his eyes, but I'm just saying all season long, that's what I've been thinking. They've got Lane Hudson on defense. They got Mike Madison. They got Caden Gooley. They've got now Noah Dobson, who is back for Game 7. I look at, they got a good group of defense. They got a goalie that stood on his head in the first round, and he had basically said after the game, I played a Game 7 every time I played this year, because he was fighting for his like spot, like Montembeau, Fowler, Dobesh, whatnot. But I look at their group of forwards, and I'm like, I don't think that group of forwards is as good as Buffalo's group of forwards, but somehow Montreal has been able to get to 106 points and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And they're the favorite.
And they're the favorite. And it's like, okay, maybe my view of this is not so much as the talent that they have, but the way the group plays and the way the, not just the group of forwards, but the team plays. So at first I would have said, okay, that's like, I'd rather play Montreal than Tampa. But the more and more I watch that series, the more I'm like, Montreal has something that you can't look at the numbers.
And is that why they're the favorite? What do you think of that?
Oh, I wouldn't put Montreal as a favorite, personally. I think it's probably because of the money. Like, when you look at the odds at Vegas, a lot of it is driven by where the money is and how do you balance that out. I personally don't think Montreal should be the favorite. I have Buffalo winning this series, obviously, but I think Montreal should be the Buffalo should be the favorite the way they've been since December 9th, winning the division. But again, as we have talked to many experts, in the first round, the numbers favored Boston, right? If you look at the numbers.
Sorry, who were the experts again?
Well, a lot of experts that we talked to.
Oh.
And Megan Chaika was on this on the broadcast, and she said, look, when they pull all the analytics, the numbers, it favors Boston, although she picked Buffalo. But I think the same way here could be true, is that maybe the numbers favor Montreal in the way that they've been able to play in the first round, but I would side Buffalo for sure.
All right, as we revisit Game 6, which was the series clincher for the Sabres, first time they ever wrapped up a series in Boston, did we see within the highlights of that game the series MVP emerging? Like, you know, there was a star performance in Game 6, and that was kind of representative of the series.
Yeah, well, I could say Alex Lyon is a series MVP coming in after game two, you know, winning game three and four on the road. That's not an easy part to come in, like in the series, coming in on the road, the way that he played in game three, the penalty shot save on Arvidsson in game three, like he was spectacular. That was 1-0 Boston. If he doesn't make that save, who knows? Maybe we're talking about locker cleanout today. I think Alex Lyon could definitely be an MVP. But if I had to also pick a player MVP, because the goalie MVP maybe is the easier one to pick, I would go Zach Benson as my MVP in the first round in just the overall aspect of what he did when he was on the ice and you know, not just the points but the extracurricular.
Well, you'll get hammered with all the numbers because we will be relentless in our, you know, aggressive unveiling of them as we, you know, go through all these playoff pregames and obviously postgames as well. But just to put a bow on it, Lyon was 3-0 on the road this series with a goals against of 1 and a .960 save percentage. Yes. He's also, over his last 15 road games, going back to December 9th, Lyon is 13-1-1. But incredibly, Lukanen has an even better road goals against in that time. This tandem has been unbelievable. We've seen Buffalo tandems have, you know, wins in playoff series before. This was impressive. Lukanen started, Lyon finished it. And then if you want tandems or duos, as we often like to say, what about the duo that is Benson and Doan?
Well, you know what? You reminded us in our group chat after the game on Friday night that I once looked at Zach Benson in a training camp and said he reminds me of Claude Lemieux. And I think what Benson did throughout that whole series is very Claude Lemieux-esque. He, like, walked the line of clean and dirty, and the slew foot on Charlie McAvoy at the end of Game 6 was, for me, was dirty. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. Like, he's on your team. You love it. You're like, you know what? Yeah.
Battle. Just like McAvoy's
dirty
forearm dirty into Doan in the glass on the goal is dirty, and his
McAvoy
his
leaning on Dahlin on
exactly
the empty net goal and pushing him to the ice, like,
yes,
the game's
and
over.
And Zadorov trying to break Dahlin's arm, like,
it's
again.
It's dirty. It's
exactly
part of the game.
Yeah.
But Benson, to me, is that Claude Lemieux type rat in the playoffs that you love. Love, love, love.
Well, let's hear from the duo on the duo.
Benny is the, I don't know what you'd call him, He's the little dog that everyone's scared of, that for some reason thinks he's really tough, and we kind of allow him to do that. But he hunts pucks really well and chases D-man down. I think when we're at our best, we're not really watching and trying to guess. We're just going and letting our instincts take over, and that's when both of us are good. So it's easy for us to find our game when we're not playing well.
That's Doaner to a T. I mean, I knew he was going to win that race, and obviously is super special play on his behalf. That goal's all him, obviously, and that's the one of many perks of playing with the Doan Show.
And the Doan Show continues. By the way, isn't it funny how Benson's game started and finished? It started with a swinging high stick goal. That was obviously no goal, and then it ends with another high stick, this time from McAvoy on Benson, that will result in a suspension for Charlie. But that can be saved for another day.
And quick correction, because while this was going on, I just checked. Right now, at a few of the most known sports book, mm-hmm. Buffalo holds a small edge over Montreal.
Might have changed in the last 10 minutes.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that
it's
the
called
money,
a fluid situation.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a significant advantage, but I think that the odds maybe are, you know, maybe they start one way, maybe are switching a different way. We'll see between now and Wednesday. It could very much fluctuate when it looks at who the favorite will be at the end of before game one.
Real quick, just final points on the win over Boston. How about the captain? I mean, what a setup to get the game going inside of the first 4 minutes, game opening goal, the feed, the move that preceded the feed to Alex Tuck. Dahlin's been named a Masterton finalist today with Landeskog and Taves. Like, just, you couldn't have asked for a better start, and it was so fitting that it was Dahlin based on the year that he's had.
Absolute, when you look at the way, the precision, the plays coming out of the high zone to attack the net, to give it to Tuck on the back door. Now, this high rotation and high cycle utilizing the defenseman is going to be a very important part of next round against Montreal, because Montreal likes to stay man-on-man in the defensive zone coverage. If you can rotate high in the zone, open up some space, that's what Dahlin did in that first goal. That's how Samuelsson got that shot off for the second goal, being able to do a high rotation, use the net front presence, get the shot on net. Let's remember that big goal that Dahlin scored against Tampa in that 8-7 win, mm-hmm. how that high rotation, he takes the puck to the net. Those type of opportunities will be there against Montreal because of the way that they like to play this man-on-man in the defensive zone. But you don't want to turn it over at the blue line, because if you do, there's a man right on you, and all of a sudden you're chasing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the danger of playing high in the zone against Montreal.
Tuck, Samuelsson, Benson, Norris with the goals in the 4-1 win. For Samuelsson, it was almost bookending the series with game winners. Of course, the empty netter became the game winner in game one after Samuelsson had given them the lead, right?
Yes.
And then Samuelsson has a series clinching goal, first defenseman for Buffalo to do so since Zhitnik. But how about this for synergy? 30-point improvement this year, 30th appearance in the playoffs, 30 empty net goals and counting for this year's Sabres team. As we look ahead on the calendar to this series against Montreal, it's round two. It starts on Wednesday night here at KeyBank Center. 7 p.m. start. Game two follows on Friday, and we have consistency in the form of game, day off through this best of seven.
Every other day, and it's obviously Wednesday, Friday, and then it shifts to Sunday, Tuesday in Montreal. Obviously, game 5, 6, and 7 are if necessary. We don't have game time yet for game 4 and on, but 7 o'clock, game 1, 2, and 3 for Montreal and Buffalo.
And obviously at this point, no expectation to have Ostlund or Carrick in the lineup, but the group showed some pretty incredible depth, and I think it was John Cooper was earning his position last night as a Jack Adams finalist by his usage of certain players, and I think Lindy Ruff and his staff absolutely solidified everything they've done that has earned Lindy Jack Adams finalist status again with their usage of the defense core in game 6 against Boston. It was masterful. It seemed effortless at times. The comfort level was up here. It was something to watch.
Well, what happens when you switch so many things on the back end, especially when you have 5 defensemen that you're utilizing, is you got to be worried that everybody's getting the message. No too many men on the ice, no late changes, and the Sabres were so good at it. They did that a lot this season, just like Tampa. Mm-hmm. It has been, you know, playing 11 forwards and double shifting Kucherov and whatnot. Now, here's the thing. Montreal did, and that is another key to how Montreal has had success against Tampa Bay, is how they were able to defend against Kucherov, especially in a game 7.
Yeah.
Kucherov has 7 game 7s played. He's got 0 points, 0 goals, 0 assists, and it was the same. And in that series, it was Hagel, it was Cirelli, it was James, it was Gonsalves. It wasn't Kucherov. Montreal did that. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that works with Buffalo and Montreal, and if the depth of Buffalo can overcome maybe having one of two top-end guys not producing, but the depth's coming through.
Right, and the Montreal utilized some depth in bringing Gallagher back into the mix, and maybe now, the coach spoke yesterday, perhaps too soon, Lindy Ruff, in the sense of, you know, we all believed Sam Carrick was going to be gone for a longer period of time, which would include this round, but now Carrick is going to see the doctor this afternoon and could, in fact, begin practicing, you know, fully as early as tomorrow. So this changes what his outlook was, and that would be a wonderful next step for having more at your disposal in these ultra-tight games. Think of how much offense, and I know that's not why he was brought in, but in that first window of time for Sam Carrick with the Sabres, how impressive the fourth line was. So again, these are all good pieces moving
forward. Who started it against Tampa to come back with Sam Carrick, the goal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in the third period. He was on the ice today, and you know, like, I was surprised after yesterday's, you know, what Lindy Ruff said, but now knowing that he's going to see the doctors and he could be available in the series, that would be huge for the Sabres. And I get they lost Noah Oslin, and you know, I wish Noah Oslin was available as well. But having Sam Carrick available, not that I want to go in right away and say, okay, Kozak, you're out, Carrick, you're in. But I do feel that Carrick played such a big role in the middle of Malenstein and whoever was on his wing, and now it's Jordan Greenway. I think it could be an added piece to the depth that needs to be a check mark for the Sabres.
Well, we got the empty netter check mark, much to my pleasure, on Game 6 in Boston. We've also been tracking, and by the way, Bo Byram's going to be with us here in about 10, 15 minutes in studio. We've been tracking playoff beards because why not? You have any? By the way, my youngest was asking about mine yesterday, and I don't think she was too impressed with it. Let's see what the guys are thinking right now in the room.
I know you've had the beard for a while, but is there a guy whose playoff beard has impressed you the most so far or unimpressed you?
No, man. I would say unimpressed for the most part. Does anyone have anything even going, kind of?
Yeah, he's ugly as hell, though.
Unimpressed. Unimpressed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know I could grow this good of a beard, so not saying it's good, but I didn't know it was possible, so quite impressed with it lately.
The scanning of the room by Greenway is the best part of that.
Yeah, trying to look for, like, some beard. No, listen, the Sabres do have the sixth youngest team in the NHL, which means beard. But I'll tell you this, Montreal has the second youngest team in the NHL. They don't have a lot of playoff beards going on over there either. So it is a very razor-friendly series, let's call it this way. Not Rob Ray Razor, but just actual razors.
Well, that youth of Montreal was on display last night as they defeated Tampa as we go around the NHL in Game 7. It was an all-too-familiar script for John Cooper based on the Olympics this year and Canada's performance that left them on the silver side with the USA winning gold. And this looked like it could have been a Tampa win all night long against Montreal. But the Habs found a way, and that's honestly what has made them so impressive and why, you know, I saw it being a coin flip series, and I think I picked Tampa, but I don't think I would have changed it. I would have just been like John Cooper, almost in disbelief when it was all said and done.
I picked Montreal in 7 for that one, and even after the first four game, somebody asked me in Montreal radio, basically saying, what do you think now that you've seen the first four game? I said, I'm going to stick with my projection of Montreal in 7. And I like patterns. I like looking at numbers and patterns. And Montreal won game one, Tampa, Montreal, Tampa, Montreal, Tampa, Montreal. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody won two in a row, but nobody lost two in a row. And because Montreal won the first game of the series, then they end up winning the series. But I think you could probably play that series to 20, and it will be 10-10. Mm-hmm. And they will go back and forth winning because the way they were all one-goal games.
Yep.
Like, all one-goal games. There was three overtime to start the series the first three games. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like, not even empty net goals. Like, there was no empty net goals. It was tight. And even yesterday, Slafkovský has an empty net chance. Eagle saves it, and then everybody in the world is thinking, now Tampa's going to come back, score, and win it in OT, and we're all going to talk about that moment, right? Mm-hmm. Madison throws it in the crowd with it 6 seconds left.
Still wasn't enough time, though.
That wasn't enough time, you're right. But it was like one of those things you're like, oh my gosh, can Montreal make it so much more difficult on themselves? But Nothing's been easy for them all year. And you could say the same thing for the Sabres. Those two teams, one of them is going to the conference finals, and it has been one of those years for both of these teams.
And nothing was easy for Tampa, especially when you play their style of play. You are choosing to be overly physical, and that is not an easy game to play in today's NHL with the pace that still goes along with
pure
that physicality.
Aggression.
Absolutely. And Boston fought through an awful lot to get to where they got to, which was ultimately a six-game loss to the Sabres. It's known as the Atlantic. It was the best division in hockey. Right behind it, the Central, because of the high-end teams. Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, the latter two are going head-to-head. Give us one word, if you can, on how that series opened last night with 15 goals produced between the Avalanche and the Wild, as obviously tonight we'll get Vegas and Anaheim underway. But, I mean, how do you summarize succinctly last night?
I'm trying to count how many words. Okay, so it's not over until it's over, like seven. Because at 3-0 Colorado, I'm thinking, oh boy, Minnesota is going to hit a different team now. It's not Dallas. 5-on-5 Colorado is much better than Dallas were. And then all of a sudden, you know, Minnesota took a 5-4 lead. And then it's like, oh, this is crazy. What a game. But yeah, it's not over until it's over. At any moment, these two teams can come back, score 2-3 goals in a row, and totally flip and change the way of a game in the series.
And with that, we will. Do you anticipate goalie changes?
Not for game two. And
they might go Gus if you're Minnesota, right?
I don't think they will for game two. I think you maybe go with game three if Wallstedt goes in and gives up another 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
But. And mostly because I think Wedgwood made a few saves.
Yeah, he did.
But
that's why
but
I was only Wallstedt focused on
didn't
Minnesota.
Make like the saves he needed to make, but I would give him another because he was so good in first round.
Abs and Hurricanes, as you would expect, still have the highest cup odds at +195. Golden Knights are third in this category at +700. Montreal +1,000 and the Sabres +1,100.
And this is why Montreal is slightly favorite in some places, and Buffalo could be slightly favorite in others. Right now, to win the Cup, Montreal is just a slight favorite over Buffalo.
Well, what a regular season into playoffs it has been, and for the Sabres, it continues with Game 1 against the Canadiens happening on Wednesday night at KeyBank Center, and one of the nice stories this year from a community standpoint has been the results of our 50-50 presented by Northtown Automotive, and those funds that have been record numbers in our games this year getting redistributed in the community through the Sabres Foundation. So we've got a guaranteed jackpot for the Wednesday game of $150,000. You can get in on it already at sabres.com/5050 or scan the QR code on the screen. Bo Byram coming up.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres with another steal. Byram shot, scores! That is a dart from Byram, and it's a 4-0 Buffalo Sabres walk in the first period. Unbelievable what this team is doing right now against these Bruins in this fourth game.
Yeah, Bowen Byram, he is on fire. Third goal of this series already.
Season of Bo continues, as does the Sabres season now, with Montreal coming in for Game 1, Round 2 on Wednesday night. Welcome in. Great to have you here.
Yeah,
how are
thanks
things?
For having me, guys. Yeah, I'm doing good. Enjoying.
Since you're talking to us, I'll move it that way.
Yeah, no, perfect.
Razor said you were on fire when you scored that goal Game 4. You had scored in three games. Did you feel like you were on fire for a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you have stretches as a player where you just seem to get good looks and the puck's going in the net. So, you know, a couple of fortunate bounces on our side. And, you know, it always feels good to produce and help the team win.
It's been an incredible year for you. I mean, you matched your career high in goals, set a new career high in points, OT winner, shootout winner, empty netter that was a game winner. He's literally done it all. How has it felt for you this season? I mean, it really, and then to top it off, you end up playing a whole bunch of minutes with Connor Timmins in the most important game on game six. And that has also continued this theme that we've seen from your group this year.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, I'm really happy with my season. You know, you're never totally satisfied. You always want to find ways to get better and continue to improve. But, you know, I feel like probably like the majority of the group, I feel like I had a bit of a slow start to the year. But then once things got going, I thought myself and the rest of the team played well. And, you know, we really just found some consistency in our game. And, yeah, now we're just trying to roll that over into the playoffs. Obviously, a big win against Boston the first round. But now we're preparing for Montreal. So we're all excited for that.
So 24 minutes in game six. That was most on the Sabres, actually second most in the game for any skaters. Did it feel like 24 hard minutes, or because it's game six and you guys are winning, it felt like I could play another game right after?
Yeah, I mean, you know what it's like in those games. You're full of adrenaline. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, I don't think you really register what's going on too much. You're kind of just going over the boards and trying to, you know, play hard and compete and help the team win. So, yeah, it was a big win for our group, you know. Having a chance to close them out at home and then doing it on the road was pretty special.
What was your view of the Benson goal?
Yeah, I was actually following the puck up the ice. So I was, I don't know, a zone or two behind Doner. So I kind of seen the whole thing develop. Wasn't too sure. Or wasn't really sure it was possible that Doner was going to be able to get Benny the puck. But, you know, that's what that line does. They hunt pucks, and they're relentless, and that what makes them so good. You know, they're extremely hard to play against, and I think that goal's just an example of that.
I remember right before that face-off, you walked up to Norris, and you whispered something, and you walked up to Benny and Doner, and you were, like, sitting up, like, the coverage. Do you feel like you defended that face-off good, or did it work exactly how you wanted it to work?
Funny thing, actually, if you watch the goal over again, like that face-off, that D-zone face-off, we blew coverage, and that's why
I said to Duffer before the show. Like, I think that Benny, Doner, and Timmins all went to Lindholm with the puck, and Pastrnak would have been free if that connected.
Yeah, it's funny how it works out, right? I think Benny stood in to take the draw, so I think the conversation between Benny and Norsey was that Benny was going to push out if he lost it to his D-man. And then obviously it happens quick and it's a bit of a scramble, but then you end up scoring the other way, so it worked out.
That's why we love it. Like, Benson is actually the guy taking the face-off. He loses it, and then it allows us to focus on our Oxford Pennant banners here. So which one of these is more true? Empty netters are for winners.
Or this one over here. Face-offs only matter when they matter. Because that one I love. Like, face-offs, they only matter when they matter. Like, this one is a blown coverage. Yeah. It ends up being a huge goal the other way.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny, right? You know, it ends up going the other way, and you're all rattled that you blew the coverage. You end up scoring at the other end, and you're happy it worked out. So, yeah, it's funny.
What were you thinking last night watching Game 7, Tampa and Montreal, with a friend who scored the game winner?
Yeah, obviously, you know, happy to see Nui doing well. I feel like he's had a really good year, other than his injury there that kept him out for a while. But happy to see that. But, yeah, I thought it was just a game where, you know, I don't think Montreal necessarily had their best, but they just found a way to win, and that's a sign of a good team, right? Especially in the playoffs, you got to find ways to win games you shouldn't. So whether that was, you know, their goaltender making big saves or just timely goals and bounces, whatever it is. I thought that whole series was very entertaining. You know, two really good teams going at it. So, I think we're all fired up and excited to have Montreal coming into our building on Wednesday.
Now, Matthew Fairburn, The Athletic, did a players poll, and one of the questions, who gets the group chat going? And you were one of the guys that was named as, you know. So did you get the group chat going during the Montreal-Tampa game yesterday, or did everybody stay off their phone, everybody doing their own thing? What was that like?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything going on in the group chat, to be honest. I think everyone was pretty dialed into the game. Just kind of getting, I mean, obviously after Montreal wins, you're kind of just thinking to yourself, how are we going to find a way to beat these guys? What are we going to do to give ourselves the best chance? Things like that. That's how I was thinking anyways. But yeah, like I said, Montreal's obviously a great team. I feel like we're kind of looking in the mirror a bit playing them. So yeah, it's going to be a really fun series.
Is that has that kind of felt that way all year based on the season series being even and what you just witnessed in their series with Tampa?
Yeah, I just thought a few times we played them this year, we had really good games with them, one, but I just thought coming out of a few of those games, I was like, wow, I was just really impressed with their team speed, how fast they play, with and without the puck. You know, they track hard, they move the puck quickly. They got four or five really mobile D that can get up the ice and move the puck for them. So, like I said, I feel like we're kind of looking in the mirror there, so it's just going to be whoever can play their game better.
What do you do in between games to either keep your energy level up or kind of bring you down a little bit? Obviously, you've got experience. You won a cup with Colorado. So, you know, in between games, in between series, are you on the plane playing cards with the boys? You said earlier this year you're trying to get back into reading, something that you haven't done in a while. So are you calming down with reading? What are you doing between games, between series?
I mean, for the most part, when you have time, trying to think about anything else other than the series, you know, it's pretty stressful. In a playoff series, you know, I just always laugh because you win game one at home, you think you're going to win in four. You lose game two at home, you think you're going to lose in five. That's just how it always seems to be, you know. It's just a really stressful time. So just kind of doing whatever you can. You know, my family was here for a lot of the first round, so hanging out with them, hanging out with the guys at the hotel. You know, we were playing a lot of ping pong and video games in our lounge and stuff like that, poker. So, just enjoying your time. You know, it's the most fun time of the year. You kind of get to nestle into a hotel for a few days.
Who's the leader in the ping pong game? Because I know you guys take the soccer game seriously, but the ping pong game can get very serious as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who is the leader? Who owned the table?
Tanner Pearson is, I think, hands down the best player. But we got a couple guys that compete with him. Matias Samuelson, he's right there.
You got length.
Tage is a good player. Tage Thompson's a good player. But it's fun because, honestly, I feel like everyone's kind of played a bit, and everyone can compete except for Benny. Benny's not very good. But so everyone's kind of, you know, has a chance to win every game, so it's fun.
You guys got to bring the carnival games. Yeah, be good exactly. At that. Ping pong is not at the fair, so that doesn't work.
Yeah. How is the room embracing the rise of Benny?
Yeah, I think, especially how he plays, you don't necessarily maybe notice it all the time, like in a normal Tuesday night game in October or November, December, whatever you want to call it. But when you have a team, a possible seven games in a row, you really just kind of see him getting under guys' skin. And I think you see that go on throughout the series. And then obviously at the end of that game six, McAvoy takes a penalty on him, which is, I feel like, just kind of the icing on the cake. You know, I feel like they were tired of him, but tremendous player. Like I said, that whole line, obviously, it was Norris for a few games, then Austin for a few games down the middle with them, with Doner and Benny. But they're just relentless, and they hunt pucks, and they make it hard on other teams' D. It's never easy playing against them, and that's what makes them successful. And then when they chip in and score and create for us, it's just a bonus. So it's fun.
What was the bench like when you look across the ice and Benny is chirping McAvoy after that whole sequence and he won't stop? Like, he wouldn't stop chirping him. And I'm like, the game's over. The series is over. But was the bench just staring straight across the ice at Benny in that moment?
Well, it's just kind of funny because in my head, I'm like, Benny, you're going to have to, like, shake his hand in 4 minutes here or 3 minutes, whatever it is. But I feel like for the most part, everyone on other teams, our team, whatever, everyone understands that you're just trying to win. Yeah. And, Benny's an ultra competitor, like we've been talking
those
about.
Those guys in Boston, they all played with Brad Marchand. So they get
100%,
it, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
They know what that's like, having that type of guy on your team. And and Benny not only scored a big goal, but I was dying at the end. I'm like, McAvoy didn't come out, right? Like,
I don't think he did.
So probably there was a lot of frustration, obviously, and Benny was able to get under his skin.
He didn't have to say a word. On his face in the box, like, he literally didn't have to say a word, and it was just going to continue to produce more steam out of Charlie's ears. It was unbelievable. Sure. So, and obviously, everybody can look at it from a million ways, like, oh, well, he shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. Do you find that in closing moments of series, because you've lived it, you've won a cup with Colorado, that things just kind of come to a conclusion, like, hey, this happened earlier in the series, this happened earlier in the series, and there's stuff that precedes these closing minute moments?
For sure, yeah. I think like I said, Benny wasn't shying away from anyone the whole series. So eventually you're going to get fed up with him. But I think, yeah, that's probably, I want to say, pretty accurate for, you know, a lot of different scenarios, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, we just have to continue to make it hard on other teams, right? That's what the playoffs is all about. So we'll continue to try to do that.
Two of the best playoff buildings going on right now, Buffalo, Montreal. You know, I played in Montreal in the playoffs, got to beat them. I kind of got energized by that building. Obviously, at home, you get energized by your fans, but do you get energized by how loud the building can be on the road as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think, first off, our team has been a great road team all year, right? We've won a lot of big games on the road and continued to do that in the first round, and we're going to have to continue to do that down the road here. But I think everyone's excited getting to go to the Bell Center, right? One of the, I don't know, my favorite rink in the NHL. I feel like it's a lot of guys. Like you said, the atmosphere is always great there. So you always just kind of have a little bit of extra juice going in there for sure.
What'd you take from all the family time you mentioned you've been able to have here lately?
Yeah, it's nice having my parents in town, and my wife's parents were in town for a while too, or her dad was in town. So, yeah, just nice, like I said, to have some people to get your mind off the game in between games or in between series, whatever it might be.
You still get advice?
From my dad, all the time. all the time, yeah. You know, he loves hockey, loves watching hockey. So we're always talking about other series or our series, what's going on. But I feel like at the end of the day, you know, he lets me kind of do my thing, but he's always there to voice his opinion.
So there's no, like, at 11:22 of the second period, you had the winger open and you decide to skate. Like, it's not that detailed.
No,
but just
it's
like,
not.
But obviously he knows you well from your day playing. So I remember one time my dad gave me the advice, and he saw me after a goal where I just stayed on my knees a little longer, and he's like, hey, body language, get up and don't let them know they got to mm-hmm. you, right? Yeah. Is this more like that, like where it comes to your inner, you know, approach to the game, or is there X's and O's in there as well?
Yeah, I guess maybe a little bit of both. I mean, he's never really telling me what I should be exactly doing here or there, but definitely, like you said, little things within the game, you know. I mean, he played in a pretty rough and tumble era of hockey, so he knows some tricks and whatnot. Just talk to me about defending myself. You know, obviously Boston was a pretty big physical team, and they were really trying to come after us, so just being smart and trying to not get your head taken off, I guess.
did you watch the Avs game as well?
I did. It was pretty wild for sure.
Wild, all right. I mean, I thought our game against Ottawa in 06, game one, that was mm-hmm. 7...
But it was overtime, so it was better.
7-6, yeah. But this was 15 goals.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. That was, and Minnesota had a 5-4 lead at one point, yeah. And then it just kind of just slipped away. You know, that. What do you think of Landeskog and what he's gone through and coming back this year and playing at the level he's playing right now? Like, you've known him, you've played with him. What does the rest of the league think of what he had to go through and the comeback like that?
Yeah, I mean, I was around for a bit of his rehab, I guess, but not the entire thing, obviously. But just like what he put in and what he did every single day to try to come back and play, like I was, and then I watched his little documentary series that came out after, and I was like, wow, like even being there for a bit of it, you don't totally realize everything that goes into it. It's just impressive, I think, and speaks to his character and speaks of his leadership qualities. He's obviously a phenomenal player. Everyone knows that. He plays the game the right way. He's big, he's heavy, he plays hard. He can score and make plays. He's kind of a unicorn in that aspect. But, yeah, I'm just super happy for him. Obviously, there was some dark days for him, not totally knowing if he was going to be able to play again or not. And to see him back out there is just, I mean, whether he's on your team or you're playing against me, you can't help but be happy for a guy like that to overcome so much. And, you know, now he's playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'm sure he's having a blast doing it.
So. But you've had that adversity too. And, you know, what is it like for you to just be here where you've been and just, you know, continuing to rise and be excelling in these moments?
Yeah, I think, you know, now that I'm through all
it
the...
It is solid wood, so yes, you can knock on it.
All I went through, you know, with my concussion things, stuff like that, different injuries, I'm really honestly kind of like grateful to go through it so early in my career. I feel like I learned so much about my body, how the body works, moving your body in proper ways, and then just learned a lot about myself. So obviously it's never fun being out, missing games, being away from the team. I think that's probably the hardest part, but also just not feeling right, whether it's your head or your knee, like Landy, whatever it is, like, I mean, it's an awful feeling, you know. You just want to be healthy and out there helping the guys. But like I said, I think I am grateful for going through that. I learned a ton. So I feel like that's helped me turn into a better player and a better person.
Producer Sam wants to get a word on bubblegum ice cream. Is that what is the big thing going on right now? Is that what keeps you healthy?
Yeah, I guess that's what keeps me healthy. Yeah, I guess that was always kind of my favorite flavor growing up. I feel like I've maybe switched a bit now. I typically go towards a chocolate chip cookie dough type deal. Okay.
Is the ice cream still important part of the pregame meal? Like, that was always, like, you had your meal, but then there was that ice cream sundae bar that you had to get to. Or are you guys healthier than we were back then?
Yeah, I think that's... it's still there at our pregame meal. I don't think very many guys eat it. We got a few that do, but I'm not one of those guys anyway. So
you can drop names.
Rob Ray comes in after everybody's gone, and he goes right to the ice cream, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Amazing. Continued success. Thanks so much for stopping in.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If you missed any of Bo Byram, check it out on Sabres YouTube. And if you're looking to grab playoff merchandise and more, you can do so from the comfort of your home. Buffalo Pro Shop is the brand new online store of the Sabres and the Bandits. Visit BuffaloProShop.com right now to shop exciting team gear with unique styles. Back to wrap after this.